The Seven Skins of Esther Wilding, written by Holly Ringland and read by Emmanuel Matana. On the afternoon that Esther Wilding drove homeward along the coast, a year after her sister had walked into the sea and disappeared, the light was painfully golden. It was March, a liminal time on the island when the tides began to change. Cooling sea breezes blew through the blue gums. Bobs of bull seals left their summer-born pups to go hunting for food. Drifts of black swans began building their nests for winter hatching. By March, the Cygnus constellation shone low on the horizon, hidden by daylight. Esther shifted down a gear and eased her foot off the accelerator to watch the sun cast tips of the sea in gold. This had been Aura's favourite time of year. When they were teenagers, she'd called it the golden in-between, her voice full of wonder. "We can immerse ourselves in the sea and float our bodies between what's above and below, Starry. This is when the veil between worlds is thin and everything you can dream of is possible." Whenever Aura talked about it, she got a mischievous glint in her eyes. Whereas Esther couldn't stop herself from protesting that there was no veil because there was only one world, this one. Why didn't Aura get that? "My little scientist," Aura would inevitably tease, rolling her wrists as she spoke, wooden bangles clacking. "I'll find the dreamer in you one day." A gust came through Esther's wound-down window, carrying the blended scent of home. Eucalyptus, salt, and wood smoke. She tilted her face away, as if she might be able to escape it. Beside her, the turquoise sea shimmered. Bull kelp danced rhythmically in the push and pull of tiny waves curling clear on the white sand. Our bodies. Our bodies. Esther gripped the wheel as she drove over a rise and around the corner that brought her into full view of the seven granite boulders in the far distance, covered in striking orange lichen and algae. Aura singing, "Our bodies, our bodies," as she twirls through the shallows, her ankles embraced by fingers of kelp. Esther jiggled a knee, bit her thumbnail down to the quick. At the taste of blood, she pressed her thumb into her fist and squeezed, sighing with irritation. She flicked the radio on, and after a moment of tinny pop music, switched it off. For the last 12 months, Esther's life on the west coast of the island had been an escape. Living and working on ancient river and rainforest country had been the life of oblivion she'd gone there in search of. It was a place of no memories other than the ones she made and remade every day. On the western edge of the island, on the edge of the world, Esther had found a place where she could breathe. But after she'd set off that morning and turned at the intersection where the dirt road met the national highway and the rainforest began to thin and open into dry pastoral country, Esther's chest had tightened. Even when the clean scent of coastal eucalyptus started to come through the air vents in her ute, she still couldn't breathe easy. All day, Esther had felt outside her body, as if she was watching herself drive. She'd learned the topography of the coastal road when she was 15, and Aura, 18, had taught her to drive. Esther watched again as her hand moved.